Hope is a song sung when everything else says you shouldn't be singing. There is no doubt that today's reading from Zephaniah is a text that is brimming with hope and with joy and with song. Sing aloud, O Zion, exult with all your heart, O Jerusalem. But right from the start, it's important to notice that this exhortation to sing comes at the very end of a 3-chapter book in which everything prior says you shouldn't be singing. In fact, everything prior to today's text calls for the opposite of singing and rejoicing. It calls for lamenting and repenting. Zephaniah prophesied during the reign of King Josiah, who was known as the reforming monarch, but the previous leadership had generated idolatrous religious practices and unjust social policies, which left Judah in great need of a prophet who would call the people to make some changes. In the first 2 chapters, Zephaniah especially calls out those who have fallen into complacency, believing that God is unmoved by the conditions of the world, indifferent to the damage being done to the poor and the vulnerable. Speaking on behalf of God, Zephaniah warns against such apathy. At that time, I will search Jerusalem with lamps, and I will punish the people who rest complacently on their dregs, those who say in their hearts, the Lord will not do good, nor will he do harm. And from here, Zephaniah's oracles only intensify. With vivid and at times disturbing language, he paints a picture of where Judah's innumerable bad choices are headed. The prophet envisions the arrival of the day of the Lord, the time in which God will bring judgment, call the people to account, and act to restore justice. The day of the Lord, promises Zephaniah, will be a day of wrath, a day of distress and anguish, a day of ruin and devastation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Hope is a song sung when everything says you shouldn't be singing. If everything Zephaniah says in chapters 1 and 2 points to a dim future and implies that the people of God should not be singing, then why this sudden turn to joy here in chapter 3? Why this invitation to start up the hallelujah chorus and get lost in the song? Lost in the celebration, because the prophet assures us at last, condemnation is not the final word, not then and not now. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. The Lord is in your midst. You shall fear disaster no more. God will rejoice over you with gladness. God will renew you in love. God will exult over you with loud singing, as on a day of festival. Here it is. After all the doom and gloom, Zephaniah disrupts our despair and ignites our hope by describing God as a singing God. A God who exults over us no matter how bad it gets or how broken we feel. A God whose voice carries the cadence of grace, a melody of mercy. a God whose song seeps into our hearts, renewing us in love and releasing us from fear. What an image for us to dwell with this Advent season. God, the great singer. This verse in Zephaniah is a rare and precious jewel. It is one of the few explicit references to God singing in all the Bible. While this is a new image for me and perhaps for you, it is one that deeply resonates with what we know. Think about it. For as long as humans have made noise, humans have made song. We notice rhythm and cadence and melody. We create rhythm and cadence and melody. We, in some profound way, are rhythm and cadence and melody. And having been made in the image of our Creator, it only makes sense that God too has sung for as long as God has been or done anything. God sang us into being, and so we too sing. As we enter this Advent season, daring to sing together, to sing Wild Hope, I have found myself turning to some of the great singers who have taught us the power of song to both nurture our spirits and to activate our bodies. Bernice Johnson Reagan of Sweet Honey in the Rock is someone who knows that singing can do both. Singing can empower us from the inside out to move through our complacency or our cynicism or our fear and to embody God's wild hope in our weary, weary world. Bernice got her start as a leader of SNCC, the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, during the Civil Rights Movement. A few years ago, she told an interviewer about songs that shaped the movement. And when she was asked to reflect on the power of corporate singing, she recalled a time when a sheriff showed up to one of their organizing meetings in a church. He started taking pictures and writing down names. It was an act of intimidation, and everyone was afraid. But then somebody in the back started to sing. The song will maintain that the air is our territory, God's territory. Reagan recalled about the incident. This is our space. And the only way we could take the space back was by starting a song. I've been thinking about this story a lot over the last 2 weeks, especially as I've followed the case of Julius Jones, an African American convicted of murder some 20 years ago and put on death row by the state of Oklahoma. Julius has always maintained his innocence, and in recent years, compelling evidence supporting this claim has come forward. And so in the weeks leading up to his scheduled execution on November 18th, there was an outcry across the nation for Governor Kevin Stitt to commute his death sentence. People signed petitions and made phone calls. Students walked out of their classrooms. And on the eve of the execution, hundreds gathered both inside and outside of the state capitol in Oklahoma City. Videos on social media showed scores of people using their bodies and their breath to claim space in the halls of the capitol, praying for a miracle of mercy, rebuking the machinery of death and singing songs of hope and justice and life. One of the many songs that filled the air of the Capitol was that great civil rights song, "Ain't Gonna Let Nobody Turn Me Round." Ain't gonna let no jailhouse turn me round. Ain't gonna let segregation turn me round. Ain't gonna let racism, hatred turn me round. Keep on walking, keep on talking, marching up to freedom land. That evening, while still waiting for a decision from the governor, the family spoke to the crowd of singers and intercessors. Julius's sister, Antoinette Jones, said that she had just gotten off the phone with her brother, and she proceeded to relay their conversation. He said all of this, everybody coming together, all of this is God. He says he thanks y'all for letting God move you to come together. He says he loves each and every one of you. He says God has spoken, and it is time. It is time to correct an injustice. The next day, just hours before the scheduled execution, Governor Stitt commuted Julius's death sentence to life in prison with no chance of parole. So while the struggle for justice in this case is ongoing, as is the larger struggle to reform our prison system and abolish the death penalty, last Thursday was nevertheless a day of great relief and celebration and joy. You should have seen Julius's mother dancing on the way to hug her son for the first time in 20 years. Sing aloud, O daughter Zion. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, for I will remove disaster from you. I will deal with all your oppressors at that time. I will save the lame and gather the outcast. And at that time, I will bring you home. I will restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord. Friends, as we journey through this Advent season, may we listen together for the song that God is singing over us, over our neighbors, over the world. Because if we are going to turn towards repentance and repair, if we are going to move through our complacency and cynicism, if we are going to show up for justice and stand with the vulnerable, then we are going to need God's song running through our veins, renewing us in love and restoring us in hope. And so just before we join our voices to sing together again, I invite you to just open your hands, to take a breath, and to receive this blessing of hope from Jan Richardson. So, may we know the hope that is not just for someday, but for this day, here, now, in this moment that opens to us. Hope not made of wishes, but of substance. Hope made of sinew and muscle and bone. Hope that has breath and a beating heart. Hope that will not keep quiet and be polite. Hope that knows how to holler when it is called for. Hope that knows how to sing when there seems little cause. Hope that raises us from the dead, not someday, but this day, every day, again and again and again. Amen.